Hi. And we talk. Yo, 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 what's up, guys? Guys, we have a huge episode. I'm going to jump right into it. If this is your first time at the Kyle Talks podcast, thank you so much. We have great conversations around society, business, culture, cancer research, people from people who have lost weight, business owners, voice actors you're going to hear, and it's so much fun. Before we jump into this juicy episode, please go ahead and give the podcast a review, like, and share it with your friends on Instagram, X, tag at Kyle the Horton on it. Review the podcast, review, even if it's bad, I'll take it. And if you want to keep supporting the podcast where we continue to have conversations like these, my Patreon link is down below. Let's jump right into it, and please enjoy my conversation with my good friend, Jack. Jack Rose, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be back.
Dude, by the way, you know, for those who don't know, we're former roommates. Jack's episode was literally, by leaps and bounds, the highest episode we recorded last year. So I had to bring you back. Again, man, thank you for making time. I know you got a busy schedule.
Absolutely. I just got off vacation, so I do not have a busy schedule. This is the first thing on my list.
So
that right out of relaxing, this is the first thing I'm doing that's voiceover related this week. So I'm all yours. I have no baggage coming in.
Beautiful. So now we have to ask, I think people are interested in you, Jack. So maybe, you know, you're on the right line of work, but Jack, how have you been since the last time we talked overall?
I've been really good. I have gotten, my work has increased, which is really great. I've gotten some good paid gigs, which has been fun. Learned a lot as an actor, as a person. So altogether increased my, like, myself, like, I guess, value, like how I'm interacting with people. All has increased. It's all been good. So I'm doing a lot better. Not that I was doing bad, but I'm doing better than I was doing.
When did we record the last episode? Do you remember? It was like,
dude, I think it was like a year ago.
Yeah, I know it was like, I don't know if it was a little bit longer than a year. I feel like we recorded it in summer sometime of last year, but that's not.
Yeah, it's either a little bit under, a little bit over a year. It's right around there.
Yeah, I would say so. So, also, you've been on some big projects, huh?
Mm-hmm. Really big, huge, massive projects.
Sure. No, you know, what?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Please ask whatever you're saying.
I was going to say, like, as I am still a baby voice actor. I'm doing the first tier of projects, generally speaking. But
yeah,
they're still super fun. And they're still, like, they teach you a lot. And it's preparing you for, like, the next step and getting better, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. Also, I have to mention this before we, like, jump into it. Bro, I am scrolling through our Discord chat. 12/13/2018. Can you turn it down, please, friend? Bro, oh my God.
Dude, I actually, right before we called, I looked at some of those and I was like, oh, wow. Oh, this brings back some memories.
Dude, yeah. Look, this I guys know I can give screenshots. This I know Kyle's always been a good roommate. February 4th, 2019. I was an RA, I believe. No, I wasn't an RA yet.
Nope.
Almost the semester right before. I said,
yeah, no,
hey,
you weren't
dude,
an RA yet.
You're a great roommate, heart emoji. Supportive Kyle. Wow.
Yeah, the next message, though, is just playing with you. Don't be mad. So I don't know if you were gaslighting me or what the heck is going on.
I don't know
there,
what but that's about. Yeah, dude. It's blast from the past. I remember moving in and my mom was there. Dude, yeah, it's crazy times.
She's so sweet. I love your mom.
Yeah, she, like, literally just fell asleep on my bed as we're trying to move in. I remember. Thanks, man. I'll spread the love. Yeah, so we didn't ask this last time, and I've gotten I know I told you before we started, but I have a few questions that were sent in because I asked the podcast, like, if you have questions for Jack, send them in. So I definitely have enough of those, trust me. But one I thought was interesting, because I don't know if we – I know we talked about it a little bit, was, like, so you have an agent now, right? Like, does that work the same? Like, you know how, like, I don't know, like Tom Cruise or whoever, they have, like, agents. Is that, like, the same thing in voice acting? I actually don't know, and I thought it was a good question.
So that is the same thing in voice acting, partially. There's a lot, there's, like, a I guess, like, a broad community of voiceover that's, like, focused around Fiverr, Voice 123, Voices, like these websites that are kind of, they act as an agent in a way, or like a middle ground. So the company will provide the script and all that, and they'll give it to the website, and then you can audition. And it's kind of agentless. But that stuff tends to, like, there are definitely people that make careers from that. Actually, there's a lot of people that make careers from that. But for, like, the really big stuff, especially stuff that's, like, big guild stuff, or, you know, like, SAG-related stuff, which is the Screen Actors Guild, you need an agent for all that.
Dude.
I don't have an agent, by the way.
You have one? Is that what you said?
I don't. I don't have an agent yet.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you said you had, like, a female agent. I don't know why that's important, but I feel like I remember the female part.
No, I work with some directors that are helping me, like, prepare myself to get an agent. Like I said, I'm a baby voice actor, so I'm working at the tier that's like right near the bottom. I do stuff for YouTube channels a lot. I do some smaller end commercials and work for, like,
being humble,
indie
chat.
Games. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm the best person there, obviously. But,
yeah, sure.
I am at the lower tier. But yeah, no, so I don't have an agent yet. But that's okay. The big push for this year would be to start finish working towards getting an agent and hopefully, you know, get some interest in me for representation.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, dude, I have so many people hit me up, so I totally get you, man. I mean, just swamped in the... I get you, dude. We're two
swarmed
of the same.
Swarmed by adoring fans.
Yeah.
I believe
You said two things. One, I can't believe I even think about. But before we jump into that, because I feel like that's going to be a big thing. You mentioned people can just, like, send their auditions in, like, over, like, online and, like, not have to worry about an agent. Tell me more. So is that, like, a viable way to be a voice actor kind of thing? Or is that kind of, like, low tier-ish?
Well, there's... Oh, that's a great way to say this. I think, like, it's a super viable option. Mm. And you kind of have to be careful with it because you ask 50 different voice actors the same question and they'll give you 50 different answers.
Yeah.
Because it's a very unique experience going through. There are actors especially that are from the more, like, traditional guard of, like, you go in, you do some jobs in a theater, you get an agent, they give you the low-tier jobs, and then the agent kind of works you through it themselves. And now there's a more kind of contemporary a group of people that are not even going for agents. So it ends up being, like, it is what works for you and how you get into it. Right now, I don't have an agent, and I use Fiverr. I have a Fiverr account, and I use Voice123 and Voices, which are the three websites that I'm cultivating auditions and stuff on.
Gotcha.
But I am kind of blocked off from a lot of, like, the really higher paying jobs. But I probably couldn't even land those right now anyway, because I'm still a baby voice actor. So
you could land those, or you couldn't?
I couldn't land those.
Oh, why is that, though? Like, is that, like, a... just, like, a popularity thing, like, oh, you, like, you know what I mean, kind of deal? Like, your name's not big enough or whatever, or, like, how does that work?
Well, personally, I don't think I have the talent for it yet. I'm still building a lot of, like, building a lot of this craft and figuring out the right way to do things. I've been doing this for a while, but I still feel very new at it, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I mean, a lot of it is name, like... they want to make sure that they're not hiring someone, like, even if my audition is good, who knows if I can do what they need on the day. So they want to have a little bit of name behind it, and that's partly why I'm doing these other websites, to kind of show and have some credit that says, hey, I can finish jobs, I can get what you need done in the appropriate amount of time.
Okay, so by the way, guys, everyone who's listening, if you need voice work done, we will have Jack's links down in the show notes below. So please check those out. I'll get those from Jack after. Just make sure to check those out. Okay, so this is the big one. You mentioned it, and I didn't even think about this. But, dude, the number one biggest thing that's happened since a year we talked that's definitely affected you was the whole, like, strike thing. The voice acting,
right.
The actor strike, and then the writer strike. It lasted for, like, what, 7 months, something like that?
Yeah, well, the writer's strike, that was almost a year, wasn't it?
Oh, and then, really? Like, okay.
I think, wasn't it? I don't know. But then, like,
know.
The actors,
yeah.
I think the whole strike period was, like, a year. Then the writers did a strike for, like, 6 months, and then the actors did their strike, like, halfway through, and then continued it for, like, another 3 months. It's like a whole big thing, but yes, the strike.
Yeah, so did that affect you at all? Like, really?
No, actually, no, it didn't. I fly below that tier. Those are all okay. People that are SAG related. They're all the Screen Actors Guild people.
Okay. So, oh, is that what SAG stands for? Screen Actor Guild?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're learning. Okay, that makes sense. I assume AFTRA or whatever AFTA stands for something too then?
You know what? I don't know what AFTA stands for. Let me look it up.
Yeah, I don't mean to make you do research. Sorry. I have no idea.
Let's see. Again, I will do the research, even though you're not asking me to do it.
Okay, true. Hey, look, this is the kind of work ethic, guys. If you need a voice actor, he will research stuff when not even asked.
I am providing all the information required, even if it means an awkward silence. So it's Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists.
Okay. So, you know, I know you probably know some, you know, cohorts in the voice acting realm, I would assume, too. How did that, just in your knowledge, even if it didn't affect you that much, did that affect, like, voice actors? Was it pretty much the same or not really?
A lot of the people that I know are in the same level as me. Most of us were kind of, like, getting... still the small jobs, still like little commercials and little things like that, YouTube jobs, things like that. Cause like, a lot of that stuff still continued. We're not affiliated with that yet. We would like to though. So a lot of us out of solidarity didn't work with them, you know,
my man.
Okay. But, it really didn't affect me that much cause I didn't get a lot of jobs during that time anyway. So it was kind of like, I was not working, but just because no one had offered me a job. And I mean, like, you support the stuff that they're doing and you work with it, but like, if you're not, you don't have work, you can't really strike.
True.
But for the people that are that I've been affiliated with, I know a lot of them. What was that?
I said, okay. Like I'm being an active listener, Jack.
Oh, that's right. These hosts. Unbelievable. Okay. But the people that I was affiliated with, the people that are like the directors and stuff, I know that they had a bit of a hard time. Like it was difficult for everyone because they don't get to work.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how they put food on the table.
But yeah.
It's over now. I really don't know a whole lot about it because it just didn't affect me that much.
Yeah. I during that time, I actually got connected with, can't remember her name, unfortunately. Sorry. I know she listens to the podcast. Sorry, I can't remember your name. Please forgive me. But she does, like, production of all kinds for, like, actors, voice actors and things. I have her email. I should probably hit her up and say, hey, what's up? But she was telling me how the SAG after strike and all that stuff was affecting actors of any caliber. And it's just like, yeah, the big names, the AAAs, like, they're going to be all right kind of thing. But it's like the people who do add-on work, who just show up and get paid like $500, whatever it is, just to be in the background, like that's their serial job. And she said the same thing for voice actors, like the little fish off of Finding Nemo that's not named or whatever. Like those are background actors and they do that serially to provide for their families, whatever that is. And she was like, that really affects people like that. I was like, I didn't even think about that. Like the people in the background or like that guy off of Spider-Man No Way Home, like the very first scene. Dude, like grabbing him. It's like, okay, that's like, he's a good, I would hope he's a good guy in real life. But it's like, okay, he's just doing his job, not a big name. He got paid for that. And that's maybe how he fed his family that month or whatever, you know. So I was like, wow. I didn't think it was that deep. I never thought about that, to be honest.
100%. There's always a bit of a disconnect between, you know, like the people that are the top 1% of a career field and especially like a creative field like this and the people that are doing it, you know, like the 9-to-5 slog, making enough to pay their rent and pay some bills. There's always a difference with that. And so that was something that I didn't notice. Now that you bring it up, it does make a lot of sense that she would echo that. There was definitely a lot of people that were, it was a hard time for them because they had made it into the career. They were working hard, but they don't have those million $100 million contracts or whatever, you know, that they can, like, just kind of coast off of while everyone's striking.
Yeah.
They're kind of going paycheck to paycheck or kind of just have an average job salary. And it was definitely hard for a lot of those people. And that was one of the arguments that I heard being parroted around. Because, like I said, like, this is all, like, knowledge that I'm having thrown at me because it really didn't affect me very much. But
yeah,
a lot of these people were like, we kind of just want to, like, we appreciate all the support from the top 1%. But it's like, can we just kind of get this moving along? Because we're over here dying. And you guys are trying to make a stand, but at this point, we just kind of want to make sure that, like, AI isn't going to take all our jobs, and then we're okay.
Oh, yeah, true. I think we talked about that last time, like, licensing your voice or something so they can just, like, go over from a voice actor point of view. I believe we talked about that, like, AI, and you can just, like, record a few lines. And then companies can be like, hey, we like that, and then pay for the license or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. The AI, I think that was one of the big points of both the writers and the actors' strike,
okay.
Was the writers wanted to make sure that their job wasn't going to get completely taken over by AI. Because, I mean, ChatGPT can, like, just full-on write whatever you want it to write.
I mean, and I don't know. I've seen Madam Web. I don't know about that, but yeah.
I didn't say it could write it well. Okay. I didn't say it could write it well. I said it could write it.
True. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, writers. Madam Web. I had to say that. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, ChatGPT probably can't write amazingly. And sometimes some writers can't write amazingly.
Yeah,
sometimes
fair.
Studios ask writers to write something and the writers don't know how to write that because studio isn't the writers and they're trying to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's a whole big thing. But yeah, so that was, I think, part of the actor and the writers was that they're trying to iron out how this new technology is going to be interfaced into the, like, the whole sphere. You know, like, where is it going to settle and how many jobs are going to get displaced? And so both strikes, I think one of the main purposes of that was to minimize the job loss.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so now I'm on this, and I think this is a good topic, because I think I might have said this before, but I'll just reiterate it since a lot has happened since our last talk. I really think the future is going to be AI, like, for sure. Like, yes, I've seen iRobot. Maybe it doesn't work out for us. We've all seen Terminator. But I, like, I hate saying this, but corporate, I'm using air quotes. You know, when I do startup work, I use ChatGPT pretty heavily, and so do a lot of other professionals, like in the business setting, a lot, if not every single one of them. And I just think that's naturally where we're going to go. I think that will displace some people. I'm not saying I prefer that. I just think that's the reality of the situation. Now, I think the question is, in that sense, when will that happen? Because right now, yeah, I was poking fun at Madam Web and some other projects that I can't think of at the moment. I don't know entirely if that was written during the whole strike, but I have to believe at least some of it was, because, I mean, wow. So I think it's safe to say maybe the technology's not there yet, but I definitely do think it eventually gets there, for sure. Maybe the end of our lifetime or, like, the middle of our lifetime, but I think it gets there. Now that we've been more experienced, I know we talked about this last time, but it's a lot more developed now. A lot has happened in a year around this. Does it, for you, self-proclaiming yourself, very humble, by the way, as a low-tier voice actor, do you think about this AI business more since all of that or not really?
You know, a lot has happened in a year, and I have learned more about AI in a year.
Yeah.
But I think where I've landed is technology is, I guess there's two things that I kind of think about a lot when I think about this, is that, like, you never know where technology is going to go.
Yeah.
I know, and you're never going to be able to stop the march of progress either. And so to me, it's like, you can definitely, like, I think what the actors and writers did is great to say, like, hey, just because it's cheaper doesn't necessarily mean that you should just immediately roll it out and get rid of everybody, you know?
True.
Limiting it and making sure that people have jobs is super important. But you also, if something's more efficient and something's, like, genuinely better, which frankly, I don't think that AI is better than writers or actors. I think you need that human component. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't genuinely create something new. It just kind of, you know, it takes from old stuff and mixes and mashes it a little bit.
True.
And so, I mean, like, you can't stop it. If it is better, it's going to it's going to start taking over. But it, sometimes that's not a bad thing, because, like, you know, sure, cars displaced a lot of horse and buggy drivers, but it created a whole lot of other jobs. So
yeah,
in the moment, it feels uncomfortable, but I think that's also kind of life, where you can't necessarily control where things go, and nothing is stable and everything is moving, so you just kind of have to be fluid and be able to pivot if you need to, you know? I'm a voice actor,
yeah,
and I'm blessed to say that I think this could be a really big career for me. You know, like, you never know where you're going to be in 5 years, but I have enough of a solid foundation and enough forward momentum that I think I might be able to get there.
Yeah.
But you never know what's going to happen. Like, in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, like, life could happen. I could get a terrible throat injury and never be able to do voices again. And that has nothing to do with my work ethic or anything. And so you kind of just have to roll with it and see, like, life is going to happen, and how do I as a person move forward with that? So it doesn't really bother me, because at this point I can't change it, you know, but I'm keeping an eye on it and seeing if and when, like, what I need to shift or change, or how I can maneuver to make my life still, like, in a positive direction.
Yeah.
And then and then the other thing about that, how do I say this the right way? And I want to not ramble about it.
Okay. Or ramble, you know, whatever.
Oh, okay, I can ramble too.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Is I wonder about the legality of AI. Because I wonder, because it seems like in a lot of places, like, it's still very new and not a lot of people know how it works, you know, where it's just like you throw a bunch of created substances into a wood chipper, and then it kind of just shoots out something that's kind of just like mixed and matched of all those things. I wonder at what point people are going to start taking these companies to court about, like, hey, you for sure used my stuff. Because they definitely did not purchase every single bit of creative work that all these AI companies use. You know, somewhere someone went through Google and just copied pictures off of, you know, like, Google Images.
Oh, are you saying, like, for voice work, like, they just heard a clip and took it kind of thing? Or
for voice work, like, for potentially art, for writing, like, all of it. I think for all of it, like, AI in general, like, there's no way that all of them are completely above board and legal. And so I wonder how that's going to shake out. Like, will it become non-profitable or not profitable because you have to pay all these huge fees to just make your AI work? Like, does that shake out? Like, I don't know. I'm not a huge business person. And so part of me wonders, like, am I going to start freaking out over, like, is AI going to get so good that it's going to just replace me just for one company to make the wrong move, have the federal court create, like, this, like, big thing about AI, and then make it just a completely non-profitable business? I mean, it's going to follow the money, right?
I didn't think about that like that. Yeah. Like, are you saying, like, the AI, let's say, I don't know, you go to whatever AI voice program and you type in, like, give me a voice for, like, a RPG warrior peasant or something like that. And, like, the samples that it pulls it from, like, if you recognize that, like, oh, that's my work, it pulled from my sample. Like, you can, and then they reused it and distributed it, whatever. Like, could they take legal action against them, kind of thing?
That is definitely part of it. But part of me also wonders, like, how as an AI company do you prove that you didn't do that?
Oh, I see.
If someone says, well, I think you took this from me, then how do you say, sorry, I think my mic just popped over. But how do you say, I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, are you going to show them every single source that you used? Because I guarantee you some of them are stolen. And then do you have to pay for some of them? Like, and then does the federal court, like, totally ixnay the whole thing? Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works. But to me, I wonder if it only takes a couple people saying, like, gaming the system, you know? Like, just,
yes,
like, yeah,
I see.
I'm pretty sure I could get a payout if I just convince the court that maybe they stole my stuff. Because they can't prove it. Because they definitely stole something.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I never thought about it like that, but yeah, that would make sense. Like, I can see. Okay,
the private thoughts of a voice actor, you know, about something that he knows nothing about.
No, I mean, you definitely, I'll tell you this, even though you might know little, you definitely know more than I would, or probably, if I'm being honest, 90% of this listener base probably would, to be honest. So we'll take that. I got this question, and, you know, as a money guy, I thought this was really interesting. And I'm going to ask it, what does, like, you don't need to give us your whole, like, tax rundown or nothing like that, but how does filing taxes as, like, a voice actor, is it a lot more stressful, or is it, like, regular, like, when you do all that? To, like, because I assume you get a receipt, right, of, like, whatever jobs you did, or if you're using Fiverr, they give you some kind of form or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, right now, it's pretty simple, because I'm going through, right now, I've exclusively made money through Fiverr, so... Okay. It is pretty simple. I have, like, one place I can, like, put it in and say it's fine. And right now, because my expenditures on, like, actually the materials and the classes and the equipment, it actually exceeds what I make in VoiceOver right now.
Okay.
It wow. It all kind of ends up just being a write-off.
It's a... Yeah, yeah.
So... I haven't had to deal with that too crazy, but it's essentially just like having a small business, like your own business. You just do the taxes the exact same way for at least okay. The tier that I'm on. If I was to have like more jobs, I think that some more things come in there if you start doing like guild related stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not there, so I don't know.
Fair. Okay, so... I'm thinking about this. So it's been a year since we last like had this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I believe you are supplementing, you know, your voice actor work with whatever regular everyday, whatever that is work. So my question for you, I know a lot of people like in the movies, that's the thing, right? I want to move to LA and be a waitress and try to be an actor. And that does genuinely work out for some people. The reality is, though, if we're looking at statistics, I think you can do it, obviously. I'm rooting for you. The statistics are not really that good. So my question, I don't mean that to be a downer, so I'm sorry if it came that way. Like I said, I definitely believe in you. My question now, though, is now that you've been doing it for longer than a year, but since we last talked to you, or, you know, my listener base has listened to you, you've been doing that for a year. Has that, like, changed at all? Does it sometimes be like, yay, this ain't worth it? Like, what is that kind of thought process? Not you've done it for a while.
And to specify, you mean, like, the full-time job that I have on top of VoiceOver?
Yeah. Like, does that, like, ever, like, oh, should I just switch? Like, do you ever have the thoughts, should I just switch to full-time and forget this? Or, like, is it hard to be, like... Because no one's telling you to go voice record. You have to think about that. So it's like, it's a lot harder when you have to tell yourself to do it than when you have a boss, right? So how has that affected you? Like, does that get your mental down sometimes, or, you know, whatever that looks like?
Oh, dude, all the time. That is a constant thing for me. Uh-huh. I have like the self-esteem of like just like a rat. It's bad. Okay. I have such bad self-esteem when it comes to this stuff. I'm getting a lot better, but I will have, and it's actually something that happened recently where I've had like with classes and like, I guess auditions and things like that.
Yeah.
Where I'll count the positive experiences per each negative one where I think that I underperformed something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way that I can like get myself from spiraling into that like I shouldn't do this anymore. It'll be so much easier if I just work at Home Depot.
Okay.
Because I like, and I did this recently. I had a class with it was like a group class with like a really popular like casting director for a huge company, and I felt like I didn't do as good as I could have, and I went to my little list and checked the things, and it was 7 positive reactions for 1 negative one, and I was already like spiraling. I was like, okay, you need to stop. This is ridiculous. You've had 7 positive good reactions where people are saying, I can't believe that you did so good. Like everyone loved it. And like all this stuff, like, oh, thank you. I loved it too. It was like really fun. And then one where everyone still said that, but I felt like I did badly. And it was just, it threw my whole world into like a spiral for a day. So I definitely have those. And I think that's a creative artistic challenge. You know, I think that a lot of people that have that kind of creative like spark like imposter syndrome themselves into a 60-foot pit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't like, I do that so much, but it comes down to that tenacity. Like I ask myself constantly, is there anything else that I feel like I have a passion for? And this is it. And I get positive reinforcement for it. I ask people in the business and I say like that I work with, and I tell them to be honest, like hurt my feelings if you need to. Tell me where I'm at and give me your thoughts. And I get positive responses, you know? And so a lot of it comes down to working hard. And I think that's where like where you say you actually touched on this a second ago, where it was like, do people like they jump in, they say, oh, I'm gonna go be a waitress in LA and go be an actor, and then they kind of just putter off. That's I think where a lot of people lose it, is it's a job with so much rejection. Like, not even in a mean way. Like, every time I spend 30 minutes working on an audition and I send it out there, there's like a 100% chance, almost, if you look at the broad scheme of things, that I'm never going to get that job. I worked super hard, and then that's just thrown into the ether and is never going to be even heard. Like, I looked at the statistics, I think, for, I think it was Voices.
Okay.
And of the 10 auditions that I had done, like, in that specific amount of time, two of them had been listened to. Like, these people are getting like 60 auditions. So I could have got the job, but like, they didn't even listen to it. And like, of course they didn't, because they get 100, 200, like 60 auditions all the time. And so of course they didn't listen to it. They don't have time for that. I should have got it in earlier, whatever. Like, things could happen, but like, it's constant rejection. And some people just don't want to deal with that. And so for me, I just have to like push through it and just, nope. This is what I want to do. This is, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm getting better, and I'm looking at my own life and saying, oh yeah, no, how I was a year ago, I'm better than I was then. And I'm making constant steps. It's like, just like looking down at your feet and making sure you're taking one more step forward. And you kind of look around, and you're like, oh wow, look at where I am now.
That's, I need to apply that mindset to League, bro. Cause I've been getting so tilted playing League, bronze four hype, but, bronze three. Yeah. But okay. So, you know what, jokes aside, I actually agree. You know, I know it's obviously not voice acting, but like with having a podcast, it's like, yeah, I wish I was on a Joe Rogan level. Maybe it's a little different, but you know, I wish I was at least making profit on podcasts. I'm very open about it. I'm not even making profit yet on the podcast, but I enjoy doing it. And I connected with what you're saying, like, okay, looking down, you move one foot forward, like you're trudging through it. And the part is, not a lot of people want to trudge through it. And I think this is like more of a general mindset thing. But when I think about, you know, with you, it's probably voice actor work. With me, it's the podcast. Like, is it a small thing? Yes. Is it probably costing me money? I mean, you're making money in Fiverr, you know, like I'm not even making money in Fiverr, you know,
am I making money in my
circumstance? No, but I think my alignment is, I do supplement obviously the podcast with, I do have a full-time job. I work for startups. That's I'm very open about that. But it's like, Sorry, it just started raining. I don't know if it's raining where you're at, so it kind of threw me off. But
it is. It just totally randomly started today, and it was weird.
So I'm like, whoa. I was and I was you're good, dude. Maybe TMI, but I was sitting on the toilet and I heard tip taps, and I was like, whoa, I'm dying, and it was just rain. So, anyways, I look at my podcast, and I'm like, we're definitely small. I will not hide about that. It just is what it is. But it's something that's mine, and I'm going through it. And yeah, sometimes it may be super omega crappy, and I might be really hard on myself because I missed episode upload, or I missed a interview I had, you know, things like that. And it's like, I know this is going to be super corny, but it's true. I was listening to some guy. He's like, you only really lost when you don't try again. And although that's so corny and cliche, it's true. Like, you really do lose when you don't try again. Like, that is actually, like, when you can say, legitimately, I've lost. So when I, you know, what you're talking about with your walk with, like, voice acting, I can relate to that in the fact of a podcast. Like, yeah, it's not easy. Like, yeah. And not a lot of people do it. a lot of people, like, I've noticed, you tell me if this is the same for voice acting, and then, but I've noticed, like, people will talk, they want some crazy, or they want some crazy, but they'll get, like, lost, or rightfully so, depressed in, the, like, the middle trenches of it. It's like, bro, I don't know how long you're gonna be in the trenches, but if you could just get past that point, you know what I mean? Like, it's not guaranteed, but I don't know. I'm for sure in the trenches right now. I don't know. Is that coherent? Is that a coherent thought?
No, that totally makes a lot of sense. And it's so true. I think that for especially things in, I guess we'll call it like entertainment or like in front of an audience, a lot of people are like, well, it's like a huge thing. You know, like kids nowadays, they like, I want to be a YouTuber or a TikToker. You know, like that's a huge thing. And, yeah. Or like, I want to be a voice actor. Like, I told so many people were like, yeah, I live in LA. I'm going to be an actor. Like, it's like in the cards. People want to have their own podcast. They think they're also extra special and super cool.
True.
But they don't realize that first, like, why they want it. I think a lot of people want these things because they want to be in front of people. And they want that, like, oh, you're so cool. We love you. And, they, like, I can just speak for voice acting. Right when I started, I got this piece of advice that was, I think I mentioned this last time, maybe it was, you want this to be your career, but it needs to start as your hobby. It needs to start as something that you love. You need to put effort into it and time into it as if it was just a thing that just brings you joy through every minute of it. The audition process and just learning new character voices and all that stuff. All of it needs to be fun for you, because it's hard doing stuff in this kind of entertainment industry. There's no guarantee it's gonna work out. There's no guarantee that it's going to amount to anything. So you just have to love it for what it is. And if it doesn't end up being anything, then that's kind of okay. And I think that's where people get lost, is that they see a little bit of momentum and then they get into the weeds of it all and realize, oh my God, this is so much more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
True.
And then it doesn't go the way they want it, and they have a couple negative interactions, and you have Jack on your podcast, and he's awkward, and then you're like, oh, this is horrible. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you just stop, because you don't love the process. You love the idea of being a famous podcaster or Instagram guru, or, you know, YouTuber or voiceover artist.
Yeah. What, so I think you also said something cool, and I agree, and I've seen it in football, I've seen it with people, just I've seen YouTubers and streamers, so I'm curious why you think this is. It can probably literally be for anything, but what's up with it when people get the slightest bit of momentum and then they stop, they disappear? Like, why? I don't know if you've seen that or can relate, but I definitely have seen people, like, they're doing good, you're like, oh dude, you're XYZ, you're streamer, for example, you're doing great, you're starting to pick up some steam, might be 25 viewers, you know what I mean, like that's like, but that would be huge for a small person, like, dude, you're picking up steam, and then they drop off the face of the earth. So it's like, yo, what happened? Like, bro, you last time we talked, you were getting steam, and now you're back to ground zero doing nothing. Have you seen that, or is, like, I don't know,
I would say that I have seen that, and I think that it is a lot of reasons. I think that for content creators, maybe it's that they used up all the content that they thought that they had, and then they got to the generating content section again, and they were like, oh, I can't think of anything else. Like, I did what I wanted to do, and they don't have that momentum. Or maybe the algorithm was horrible to them or something like that, and they just, like, they kept generating content, but it just wasn't seen. I think that also a lot of it is fear. You know, I think that sometimes people see that, like, they maybe get a little bit of momentum, and that pushes them into a new, larger pond with bigger fish. And they're like, I don't want to be involved in this. And then also a lot of times these filters that, like, successful people, I think, go through to get to the next level of things, I think that it requires a shift in your life and a shift in your mentality and a shift in how much you invest in it. So I think that sometimes people will maybe will say, for me as an actor, right? Like, there was several moments where I was getting positive reinforcement and then I let it slip because I didn't capitalize on it. So it was, you've been playing these characters really well. if you practiced a little bit more on this section, or maybe put in more time, you could get to the next level. And I was like, hey, cool, a compliment. And I just kept doing what I was doing. And, you know, stagnation is not good. You know, like, stopping and staying where you are just means you're losing. You have to keep moving to the next level.
True.
And so I think that sometimes people will stick at that filter, and they'll get a goal, you know, and they're like, oh, good, I got 25 followers. That was my goal. And maybe they didn't plan for the next step of it. Or they just, instead of planning to become like, I want to get 25 followers every month, or I want to increase my follower percentage by this much, I want to get 25 followers. And then they got there and they didn't really know what else to do. And yeah. So like for me, like I said, there were moments where it was, okay, you know what? I should probably invest more of my time if I want to get to the next level. Like I instead of, you know, an hour a week of practice, I should be doing 30 minutes a day. And then I moved that to an hour a day. And then, you know, it was instead of an hour a day and then a class every month, I should be doing a class every week. And then I went to two classes a week or meetings or things, you know, it was.
Yeah.
This is all sacrifices of my personal time, of things that I wanted to do other than this. I had to sacrifice some other, you know, hobbies and dreams and things like that, because to succeed in something requires a lot of investment. And so I think that that's where a lot of these people kind of like they fall off, because they're not willing to make that sacrifice, I would say.
Yeah, based, Jack, by the way, super based. Yeah, okay, so this is going to sound silly, but I agree with what you're saying, and I've seen it, and I've seen it myself. I'm going to use a silly example in 2 seconds. But people don't plan. I think it's a lot. People, I mean me too, don't really plan for the next step. Like, mm-hmm. Once you hit that first goal, okay, where are we going from here, you know, kind of thing. And a silly way for me to say that, so I know this is gonna sound super nerdy and dumb, but in World of Warcraft there's like a rating system for how well you can do dungeons, and 3k 3000 is like not a super high score, but it's like a respectable one. And that was my goal I was going for. And again, this is a silly example, I went for that, I hit 3000, and I was like, okay, I kind of don't want to play the game anymore. Like, should I push it? You know, not to brag, but I'm at 3,200 now, which is rather respectable. But, you know, using that as a silly example, I've seen that people, like, do that in their own personal success, in their own personal success life as well. Like, for example, if you want to hit 100 podcast downloads or whatever, you hit it, fantastic, and you feel like you finished, which is good. But you didn't set up another goal for yourself, so now you feel like you're stuck in the water. You did what you wanted to do. And if that's what you wanted to do, fantastic. You know, you did what you wanted to do. But if you want to grow something and kind of incubate something, you got to have goals. You need to make goals like you plan on finishing them. Mm-hmm. So when you finish the first one, okay, I'm super proud of myself. I party or whatever. I partied when I hit my first 10,000 downloads. It was a good moment for me. But it's like, okay, what's next? 25. And, you know, and supplement that with whatever you guys are doing, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it can be like, you know, hustle culture. That's so cringe. True, but also if you're trying to build something, you need to have that thought process. Would you agree or not really agree, or like, how do you see that differently, if at all?
I 100% agree. I would say I actually read a book 2 weeks ago called Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book.
Yes, I've read that book like 3 times. Yes, yeah. Great book. Yeah,
great book. And one thing that he says, which I think you've essentially just said, is that habits can be totally kneecapped by goals. If you want to do something, One thing, and not for everybody, but one thing that can really trip you up is achieving your goal. Because then you're just like, true. Okay, well, I'm here now. Now I guess I can quit. That's a lot of the times people that like go on a diet and lose weight, they gain that weight right back because they got to the weight they're on. And they're like, oh, thank God, I can stop being on keto. This sucked. And then, of course, the weight comes back. Or like, for me, you know, like my goal at the gym and my fitness journey has never been to reach a weight, you know? Of course, I have like in my head, like a healthy weight would be like maybe 185 for me or 190. That would be great. But that's never been my aim. My aim has always been go 6 days a week. That has always been my goal.
Yeah.
Show up 6 days a week. Because that goal is consistent forever. It's it doesn't matter. Once I do that, I can apply anything else that I want to that goal. You know, like I can say, oh yeah, let's try and get to 180, or add some other things on top of that. But for my fitness, it has always been try and go 6 days a week. And even if it's you're tired, even if it's just like show up and then do a push up and then look at the treadmill and then stand there for 15 minutes and then go home. And like, that's all that matters.
Showing up
and being there builds that habit. And it doesn't like, it frames your focus to not the goal, but the healthy action. And it's the same with, I would say, like voiceover. That's why for me, voiceover isn't get my demo done. It's have an hour of voiceover a day. Invest an hour into your field a day. And it's not as fast as some people. There are some crazy people out there that are homeless because all their money goes into acting and every second is acting. They're going to be more successful than me. 100%. Unless like something happens, because they are so invested and that is their whole life. I try and take a more balanced approach. And so like I have that time to give. And so if I can give an hour a day, then I'm succeeding moving forward. But my goal is never to achieve a specific singular thing. It's always to keep innovating and keep moving forward and, you know, have an hour a day and then say, well, what am I going to do with my hour today? Well, I reached that one goal that I wanted to hit. So I guess just hit the next one.
Yeah. No, I want to get into questions here because we're starting to get to that hour mark and I want to respect your time. It's crazy how everyone who I've talked to who's been on the podcast, a lot of people, literally from the cancer research guy to the guy who's lost like 500 pounds to you, you know, I've had Karen, a fitness coach, like everyone who I've had that has goals for themselves that may not be where they want to be, but they have these goals. Every single person I've talked to, even not on the podcast, it's weird how the gym is a routine part of that discipline. Every single person that has serious goals, like they talk about it and they're about it. The gym is worked into that, whether it's running or weightlifting, whatever the medium is, it's still the gym or working out and bettering yourself. And it made me think when you mentioned that, because by the way, guys, earlier, if you didn't know, Jack said he was being very humble. Jack is a killer now. He's being humble. Maybe he shouldn't have been humble when we were in school together. I love you, Jack. But this dude is like horrible. A total catch now. So, you know, with that in mind, it's noticing like, I don't know, man. There's something about the gym. And I think that physical discipline of even what you said, if you just go to the gym, do a push up and look at a treadmill, brother, you at least went, like you applied yourself. I so agree with that. And I don't know. I find that. Like people with serious goals also have gym time or fitness in there too. So
the gym is the perfect microcosm of having a healthy mindset with work, because there you see what you want happening. You know, if you show up and you do what you're supposed to do, you will see growth. Might not be you learn how to temper it, because it might not be as fast as you want and it might have to learn some things. There's constant additions. Like I'm in the calorie consumption phase of my gym thing where it's like, I go and I can lift heavy weights, but I'm never going to get heavier if I don't eat. So I have to, that somehow I need to apply this ethic outside of the gym, you know? And so I'm learning that right now, but it's where I totally agree with you. It's where you start to be successful in the rest of your stuff. Cause there's always excuses for everything else. For voiceover, it's I can't do it today. Cause you know, like, I feel a little sick, or, I did it yesterday. There's always reasons not to. But with the gym, it's very simple. If you don't go, you don't get big muscles or a thinner waistline or, you know, like your cardio better. Like, they just don't happen. Yeah. There's no excuse as to why not. And so if you can master the gym, which I see is much simpler, then you can translate what you learn into these other harder, more nuanced projects and goals and dreams that you have for your life. It was the first step for me. I would not be where I am with voiceover. I would probably have given up a long time ago if I didn't get into the gym and learn those how to do things that I don't like to do, but do it every day and then learn to love them.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, I'm gonna jump into questions here, so I'll leave it on this, but yeah, dude, on that topic, you know, I've been going to the gym. I want to up it because I felt like I was getting a little mundane going to the gym whenever. So to introduce new discipline in my life, I go to the gym Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day at 5 a.m. So if it's 5 a.m. your time, you know Kyle's at the gym. And I've been doing it since the new year. Definitely, it's discipline. I'll say that. Because I'm not kidding. After we get off this call, I'm going to bed kind of thing. So it's kind of lame because I feel like I go to bed like a grand person. But I had a good mentor, to reiterate what you're saying, and I agree. I had a mentor who's still my mentor right now. I met with him. And he was asking, he's a business mentor, and he was asking me about the gym. This guy is very successful, and he was saying, like, the reason the whole 5 a.m. thing, my car broke down. I don't have a car, at least at the moment, because I work from home, so I don't feel like I need one. And my mentor is like, yeah, Kyle, he was like, you can do better. Go to the gym at 5. And I was like, I'm not trying to wake up at 5. Like, that is craziness. And here we are. End of February, beginning of March, and I've gone every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 5 a.m. Now, it definitely would be, maybe there's been a day or two where I'm like, oh, I've done this for 3 weeks. Maybe I take a break today. But that stuff is dangerous because that's a slippery slide. And you can start being like, oh, I've done it. I'm good. Brother in Christ, no. Like, that is the opposite of what you should be thinking. It's easy to fall into that trap. Anyways, anything you want to finish off before we jump into some questions that viewers submitted?
No, I just think that the theme of the past little bit has been when you do the stuff that you hate for the things that like you're your passions and you can learn how to find the enjoyment in it and come back to it every single day and work hard. And even if you feel bad about it emotionally or physically and just keep hitting that grind as much as you can, like every single day, you will find some kind of success.
Yeah.
I don't remember the quote. So I'm going to say I remember something that Mike Tyson said, I think it was Mike Tyson, where it was like, if you can learn to do like, I think it was in regards to like his like workout regimen, like if you can love your least favorite parts of the grind, essentially, if you can just absolutely get at it and love it, then you'll find success at it. Because it's those things, those sticking bits that stop you from achieving what you want to do in everything.
I'm learning that. You know, for anyone's listening to the podcast, we're obviously, me and Jack are still, we haven't arrived to where we want to arrive yet. And hopefully this can be at least some kind of encouragement or be like, maybe you need to get your ish together. I believe you should be hard on yourself, not to the point where like where you want to go commit Sudoku or anything like that, but you should definitely be hard on yourself. And I think that's a factor. Jack, I know jumping into the last little segment here, I have gotten some questions. I asked the viewers like what they would want to ask you. So I have a list of them and I'm kind of going to rapid fire them unless you want to dive deeper into one, then it's all good. Is that okay?
All right, let's do this. I'm ready. Rapid fire me the questions.
Okay, so here's one from a viewer who asked, hey, Jack, I really loved seeing you last time on the podcast. My question for you is, I am an aspiring animation artist. I am my first year of freshman in college. So I'm curious what advice you'd have for me as someone who's not even in the animation work yet, about how to set myself up for success. Quotation mark. I know this isn't voice acting, but I think the principles might apply.
If I was in their position, it would be find someone who's better than you and like have them as a mentor if you can. That's something that's super helpful because I would not be where I am if I didn't have my director, Julie Maddalena, who pushes me and is honest with me and tells me when I'm not doing enough to treat it. Like, even if you want it to be a career, like I said, treat it like a hobby and do it all the time and carve out a section of your day where you're like, this is animation time. I'm going to try something. It doesn't have to be like all of it. Like, I'm not doing scripts every hour of my hour every day. I'm researching how to get an agent, or I'm trying to, you know, work out a new accent or a new voice or something like that, or I'm just editing my website. It's every, like, carve out a time where you're pushing forward in it, and then just learn how to love the process, because I know that sometimes there's that one thing about it that you really hate. Just make it a part of your lifestyle, and then find a community who also loves it. Because if you have a community with you, they'll teach you things that you don't know, and you'll teach them things, and they'll remember you later, and you'll remember them, and then you're who says this? Oh dear. Where it's like, be around the people that are going to, like, pull you up with them. And so that's people in a community for like-minded. I have a huge voiceover community that was set up by Julie, that her group. I love them all. And we sharpen each other. Like, that gets me excited, because I'm like, I can't slack off today. We got class in like 2 days. And if I sound bad, then they're going to come after me for it, because they know I can do better. And so you get a community, get a mentor, work on it every day, and make it fun. Make it a hobby for yourself that you enjoy.
Base Jack answer. Okay, here's the next one. Hey, Jack, really, really enjoyed the first episode. Glad Kyle's having you back on. With that in mind, I think Kyle stated you and him both live in L.A. So do people think you're rich when you say you're a voice actor who lives in L.A.?
When they see how I dress, they'd never think that.
Okay.
No one has ever thought I'm rich, ever. When they see what I drive, when they see what I wear, when they, you know, like, see my hair messy and, you know, my breath a little stinky sometimes, they're like, no, he's not rich.
Okay, also, let me preface the next couple of questions with maybe, I think I maybe said something, but there is a heavy bias or a heavy thought in the community where they think you're doing a project for Disney. I don't know if that's true or not, whether you can confirm that, but I don't, maybe no. I said something, but yes. These next few questions have to do with Disney and the thought that you're doing like some low tier work for them. So okay. With that in mind, hey Jack, how, if you have or have not worked for Disney, again, I don't know where this idea came from. If you have or have not worked for Disney, what's been the best and worst parts of it? If not, what has been the best for working for a higher tier voice agency or a lower tier, if any at all?
So I will spoil these last couple questions. I have never worked for Disney. okay. I have never worked for them ever, but I can, maybe I use them as an example. So my bad if I said something like that. That was meant as an example, probably. I don't remember. But for like a higher tier agency, what did they say about it? What, like, the highs and lows of it? Like, what was the best?
Yeah, like, what is it like working with a high agency and a low agency? I assume they mean like more like a qualified, I guess, or less qualified, or more prestigious, I think. Less prestigious, yeah.
The one instance that I've had where I worked for a company that I felt was like a little bigger and has had a lot more experience with voiceover, it was, the positive parts were that they knew how to talk to an actor, which is great. Because, you know, sometimes you get like mom and pop car company and they're like, can you make this commercial sound like you're, you know, like selling cars and stuff? And you're like, yeah. Do you want like a commercially voice? Do you want me to sound like someone who comes in and like buying it? Like, well, can you do it like just like you're selling a car to me? It's like, oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. And so, it's nice to have someone who knows how to talk the actor lingo to you, you know, and knows what you need and the bits and pieces that help you build out a good sounding, you know, whatever you're making. Sometimes the bad parts are it super depends, I think. But like sometimes what I've seen, it can be where you're working with a director and you guys are flowing, but then they send it in to the management team or like the overarching community that's in charge of this whole project, and they're like,
yeah,
we don't like it. But I
hate to cut you off, but I only have a few minutes left like of upload, so I want to make sure this is in the correct time. These next questions, if you, I'm gonna ask you three more. It just okay. Keep it to like a one liner. Only got 3 minutes. So
one liner? Okay.
Yeah, keep it one liner as minimal as you can. So following the Disney thing, yeah. Do you like Star Wars? If so, why do you work for Disney?
I will tell you, I love Star Wars, and I do not work for Disney. So I love Star Wars a lot.
Okay, next one. What is your definition of work ethic, and how did you use that to get where you're at now? This might be a bigger one.
A one-liner for what's your definition of work ethic, Kyle? Okay.
Well, we talked about it a lot, so maybe they just re-listened to the whole podcast.
Yeah.
These ones are more fun. Have you heard of the Indian weightlifter Ramit, and what do you think of him?
I have not heard of the Indian weightlifter Ramit, it was?
I don't know who it is either, to be super honest.
I've never heard of them, so I don't have any thoughts. Yeah. But I think he's probably, if he's lifting a lot of weight and working hard, he's probably got a good work ethic. So if you want to know what my idea of work ethic is, listen to this, and then listen to what Ramit does, because he probably works hard too.
Watch him be like the most horrible person.
No, never mind. Maybe not.
Two more, actually. So for this one, Jack, what's one piece of advice that you would give to aspiring entertainment content creators of any kind?
Don't be afraid to take criticism from people that you respect, and be honest with yourself about where you are. Not in a way that will cause you to quit, but in a way that will encourage you to grow in the places that maybe you don't want to acknowledge you need growth in.
Okay, and here's the last one. This one's a good one. This one's a personal question from someone I know personally. Jack, you stated last time that you were apparently immortal in Valorant. Why did you dodge Kyle and myself in Valorant?
Why did I dodge you guys in Valorant? Because you guys aren't good enough.
Okay, there it is. Guys,
no, I asked you to play a couple times. I think we're not on.
Are you immortal?
I was.
Okay, well, you're gonna have to, I'm gonna need you to carry me. I'm plat 3, by the way.
Easy.
Yes,
I got like 3 accounts.
Okay, guys, that has been the episode. Jack, thank you so much. His links will be in the show notes. So if you guys want to connect with Jack or do some work with him, all of his links for his Fiverr and things like that will be in the show notes, as well as his Instagram and anything like that. Jack, thank you so much for being on the show. I really do appreciate you, my boy. Maybe we make this a yearly thing. Maybe you come back next year.
Weekly thing. I'll be your co-host.
Dude. I mean, with the downloads for the last episode, your episode carried last year, that's for sure.
It wasn't me.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys again. If you guys want to find out Jack, follow me on his socials. All that stuff will be in the show notes down below. And
thank you for having me.
I guess we'll see you guys next time.
I don't work for Disney.
Peace.